This morning, we continue in our study of this book, and I just want to do another study on chapter 1 with you. James chapter 1, and I'm looking at verse 22 to 25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I'd like to speak to you on this Lord's Day on the subject of the right way of hearing the word. The right way of hearing the word, which of course implied that there is a wrong way of hearing the word. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, in this part of his letter, is instructing the Christian believers not to be mere hearers, or I should also add, mere readers of the word of God, but rather to be hearers and readers that leads to obedience to the word of God, or to the law of God, or to the precepts of God's word. It is hearing and reading the word or the law of liberty, as James described here, with the aim or the intention to apply the principles of Scripture into the daily lives of the Christian, into our own lives each day, for the glory of God. So James is pointing out that there is a distinction between true and blessed hearer of the word and the person who misses the blessing because he or she hears only to forget, or reads only to forget. There are many in the church who are still impervious to the truth. They still continue to listen to the word of God diligently or perfunctorily, and to listen with even with kindly respect, but they are yet not doers of the word. Our lament is that of the Apostle Paul. They have not all obeyed the gospel. Romans 10:16. They have heard it, and in a measure appreciated it, but they have not obeyed. It has not come to them with the power constraining them to yield their hearts, their will, to God's commands, or God's truth, or God's word. And so, may the Lord in His mercy, through our brief study of this passage, turn us into hearers, readers, and doers of the word of life, for Jesus' sake. And you will pick up here two things are very obvious in the text. The first is the hearer of the word who does not profit by it or from it, and is represented as looking into a glass. And then secondly, we see the man who does profit by the word, for he is represented as looking into the perfect law of liberty. And so may the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly these two distinctions. First, the wrong way of hearing the word, represented as looking into a glass or a mirror. But let me first point out this to all of us, that to every hearer of the word of God, the true word of God is a mirror. The word of God is a revealer of secrets. The word of God uncovers, you can say, or searches the reader, searches the hearer. It shows a man his life, his thoughts, his heart, his inmost self. Therefore, the preacher or the minister is to hold up the mirror of God's word, to nature in a moral and spiritual sense, and let every man, woman, boys and girls see for themselves therein, that they may know their true self. They do not even bring to say the ministers and the preachers do not even have to make that mirror. Our job, my job, is only to hold it up. The minister's job is to hold up that mirror of God's word so that each individual sinner can see for themselves who they truly are. The thoughts of God, and not our thoughts, not my thoughts, are to be set before the hearer's minds. And this discovers a man to himself. And this principle applies not only to the preacher and to the minister, but also to those who teach God's word, whether be it Sunday school teachers or Bible study leaders. You are to hold that mirror of God's word up. And let the Holy Spirit do that work of searching, of uncovering the heart of man, the heart of sinner. A large proportion of hearers look only upon the surface of the gospel or give a very cursory look when they do read the word of God, and upon their minds the surface alone is operative, not deep down into the recesses of their hearts. Yet even that surface, in the mercy of the Lord, that even that surface is sufficiently effectual to reflect the natural face which looks upon it. And this may be of lasting profit if rightly follow up. Brethren, the chief blessing cannot come to the Christian believers by surface work. I repeat, if you are to advance in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to have Christ form more and more in you, it is not surface work. He that would be enriched by the gospel must dig for it, and must dig deep. He must sink shafts into this fathomless mines, that he may bring up the much fine gold. Let not our thoughts, brethren, boys and girls included, to just glide over the surface of God's word with a touch and go attitude. You will not profit from it. And same goes for your hearing, same goes for your reading. But let us plunge into the depths of Scripture to seek out the hidden gem. The Scripture gives a very truthful reflection or a portrait of man's nature. It lets him see himself, not as others see him, for others make mistakes. And it's true that we make mistakes in our judging, so to speak, of someone, nor as he would see himself, because we are by nature sinful and biased, and we are blind to our mistakes and faults. For he is very apt, if we look into our own hearts by ourselves, we are very apt to be partial. But the scripture makes him or her see himself or herself as God sees him or her. Look at the scriptural portrait of a sinner. Look at the depraved heart, the rebellious view, and the darkened understanding of the mind. What do you see? Even if you do so-called a surface look, what do you see? What a sight it must be which meets the sinner's eye when he or she is hearing the faithful word. The holy book does not flatter, like some ministers do, does not flatter human nature, neither does the true preacher attempt so base a work, but in plain, downright honesty of truth, the witness is given, as the Apostle Paul says, they are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans 3:12, of course the Apostle is actually quoting from the Psalm. You see, when the conscience is aroused by the work of the Holy Spirit, the man sees himself, the woman sees himself, the boy and the girl sees himself very clearly, as the revelation of God declares to him to be what he or she actually is. He can hardly think that this can be the self or same self with which he was upon such excellent terms, because we will always look at ourselves as good, that we do not see, we are blinded by our sin of pride. If God blesses the sight, if God through his Holy Spirit in his mercy open our spiritual eyes, that man, that sinner, that boy, or that girl, or that woman, this will lead to abhorring himself or herself, and upon the work of the Holy Spirit in such a way, it will not just stop there. Upon seeing the sinfulness in his or her own heart, that person is led to seeking cleansing and renewal. If not, the man at least has seen himself and has had the opportunity of knowing his true state. The glass or the mirror of the word is not like any other ordinary looking glass, which merely shows us the external features. But according to the Greek text, actually, which is translated here as the face of his the natural face in the glass. Actually, that word in our Greek is the face of his birth. The word of God reveals that to us, the face of our birth. That nature, so to speak, that sin nature. He that reads and hears the word may see not only his action there, but motives, intentions, his desires, his inward condition. As the butcher cuts down the carcass with his knife and reveals all the inner parts, so is the word of God, which we are told, quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts, and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. So it is that many a hearer does see himself or herself in the mirror of God's word. We are told so twice in the text. Look at it very carefully again. The text. He is like a man beholding his natural self in a glass, for he beholdeth himself. See the two words, beholding, meaning to say see. Observe next in the text what follows. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Look at those words again. That's three very important words there. Beholdeth or see, goeth his way, forgetteth or forgets. Many hearers go away from what they have heard in the word. And then also notice there are two ends there. A and D. Two ends in the text. Following quickly one after another. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth. Did the writer deliberately put in this word just to fill up the pages? Ah, my dear friends, if we just do a cursory reading of God's word, you will miss this. The two end there has a purpose. It is to bring out to us the force. It is to convey a force in the quick succession of the action. You see? They show that man looks at himself hurriedly and as it were in passing, and then so go his way and straightway forget what he saw of himself because his glance was hasty, casual, and soon over. He read the word, and there was an end to it. No echo, so to speak, lingered in his heart or in his soul. The sermon was over when it was over. Many a man, a woman, a boy or a girl, having seen himself, herself in the glass of the world, has no time for any further meditation of thoughts about himself or herself as revealed in the word. And even if they have time, particularly in our modern days and our modern lifestyle, even if he or she has the time, no energy. Because all that is expended on so many other things, which are necessary, don't get me wrong. But you see, Satan is very subtle. Keep you busy. Even busy with those things that are legitimate. That you forget. And you will justify yourself. I have no time to read my Bible because I have this, that, my work, my family, my church, my what. You see that? Be very careful, brethren. Be very, very careful. And as I said, and I make no apology for repeating that, there are sacrifices to be made. There are priorities. Who comforts or what comforts? God or your friends, family, whatever, or your things. For example, your hobby, which comforts. Some must go in order to avail yourself to the reading and hearing of God's word. It's your choice. This forgetfulness is very mischievous. And then we see the great difference, this forgetfulness, as we compare with the servant of God, David. He says what? I will never forget thy precepts. Psalm 119, verse 93. The wicked forget
God,
but the true Christian remembers his commandments to do them. Psalm 103, verse 18. Forget the words of man, brethren. Forget even the words of the preacher, so to speak, or the ministers, as much as he brings you God's word. Be zealous to remember the word of God. And that is why, which we have been doing for umpteen thousand years, printing out this Bible verses, memory verse, it's not just for children, by the way. And oftentimes we are just so, we think that memory verse are only for children. It is for all of us. For me, for you, for the adults, for the young. So that's why we print out the memory verse for you. It's not just to for fun, so that we, every week we can give you one and then to show that we are doing our work. Oh, brethren, how forgetful we are. And those who forget, forget to do. They follow not the Lord's command in the book of Numbers. As we read, remember and do all my commandments. Numbers 15, verse 40. Forgetfulness of the words leads to self-satisfaction. Looking into the glass of man, we feel a little startled, and that we are such an ugly person. But he went his way and mingled with the crowd and forget what manner he was. And therefore he felt quite easy with himself. By the force of sheer ignorance, a man can climb up to a desperately false assurance of his own excellence. He can cry peace, peace, when there is no peace, till at length, a blast of the trumpet will not alarm him. You see that? Only the work of the Holy Spirit can sound that trumpet and awaken and make alive that dead soul. What can be more fatal than this? One may as well not know, than only learn and straightaway forget. Moreover, besides leading to self-satisfaction, it also leads to growing carelessness. Forgetfulness leads to growing carelessness. A man who has once looked into the glass and afterward has not washed is very apt to go and look into the glass again and continue in his or her filthiness. When man gets to trifle the word rather than take heed, they are near to destruction. Beware of hearing the gospel as a pastime. It is the next stage to eternal ruin. I repeat, beware of hearing the gospel as a pastime. It is the next stage to eternal ruin. When that which God designs to be your salvation become a pastime to you, then all likelihood that it will not save, and that saving or that salvation is gone. He who plays a fool with heaven and hell will soon lose all hope of the one and be hurried down to the other. Furthermore, this forgetfulness of the word leads to increased sin. For we do not hear the word without being convicted of it. As I am responsible, as all ministers do, as I am responsible for preaching and teaching the word of God, so are you for hearing and reading. Be very careful. To you whom the gospel has come, as a revealer of yourselves, but not as a renewer of your heart. You have grown harder in sin, and you have sinned against more light and against more knowledge, and thus your sin grows blacker. And this is particularly the case for those who are born or raised up in Christian families, where fathers and mothers do faithfully, in the strength of God, to teach the children the Word of God or the Gospel. And those children who grew up, you, if you grow and persist in your unbelief and reject the Gospel as you grow, you have sinned against more light and against more knowledge. Brethren and friends, you have sinned, your faces in the mirror of the Word. Do you not desire to have them cleansed and purified? You know your impurity. Do you not wish to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus from all sin? Will you go your ways as if there were no law to accuse you, no gospel to invite you, no Christ to forgive you? Will you live and die as if there were no heaven, no hell, no eternity, no God? May the Lord Jesus deliver us from being triflers with the Word and forgetters of it, lest at the end your belief should turn out, or your faith, so to speak, turn out to be vain, and we should find ourselves accused by that which might have been a blessing to us. I come now to my second head, the right way of hearing the Word, which is represented as looking into the perfect law of liberty. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. The word therein actually is not in the original. It is put in by the translator. That is why in your Bible you will see as italic. He be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Believers are not to look casually at the word as though it were a mere looking glass, but we are to gaze earnestly, intensely upon it as God's people under the new covenant. As the apostles stood down and looked into the sepulchre, so we are to search diligently into the blessed law of the Lord Jesus and delight in it after the inner man. Take careful note that the law of God is worth looking into. It is the law. The word law in this context is not merely the Ten Commandments, but the law as it is condensed, as it is fulfilled, and it is exhibited in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. The gospel law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That gospel which we are called upon, or described as the perfect law of liberty, we are called upon to obey. And it is worth our deep meditation. That holy law which Jesus has promised to put into our inner parts and write upon our hearts, the law of faith, even the command of grace, which order us to believe on the Lord Jesus, must be and ought to be obeyed by the believers. More than that, it is a perfect law. All human laws are imperfect, but the law of the Lord is perfect. The law in the hand of Christ is perfect in itself, having no excess and no deficiency. It is a law which makes those perfect who obey it. You get it?
It is a law which makes those perfect who obey it. It is a law which is set forth in the person of the perfect Christ and wrought in us or worked in us by the perfect Holy Spirit. It is the law which touches our whole nature and works in it unto perfect beauty. Who would not wish to look into the law which, like its author, is love and purity itself? It is called the perfect law of liberty. Now, the law under the old covenant in the Old Testament leads to bondage, but the law in the hand of Christ is liberty. We never walk in true liberty until or till we walk in the Lord's command. Strange, isn't it? That is totally opposite or contrary to our nature, to our understanding. He that wears the yoke of Christ is the Lord's free man or free woman. He or she is truly free when you are in Christ. The true hearer looks into this perfect law of liberty with all his heart, with all his soul, and understanding till he knows it and feels the force of it in his own life, in his own character. He delights to know what God's will is and finds his joy in acting out the same. You see, he's not just delighting. When we read verses like that from, for example, from the Psalm, you know, David says he delights in the word of the Lord. It is not just knowing and finding joy, but acting in the same. He cannot have too much of it. Can you? Can a Christian have too much of God's word, of God's truth, of God's law? But meditates upon it day and night. And hence, those who do that cries with the psalmist, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Psalm 119, verse 97. The true hearer. That leads to what? You see, as you hear the word of God with earnestness, with sincerity of heart, with this diligence and desire to know and understand God's word, what is the next thing that will happen? The prayer of that hearer, of that reader of God's word, that leads the person to frequent prayer. And what does he pray for, or what does she pray for those who truly read and meditate upon God's word? He or she will pray that he or she may be conformed unto that perfect law in all respects. Striving. Of course, we know that there's no perfect Christians in this life, here on this side of eternity, but that true hearer, or reader and reader of God's word, will always strive in obedience to God's truth. Because you see, his prayer to conform unto the perfect law in all respect, and in proportion as his prayer is heard, so he enters into that perfect rest. Now I shall ask all of us, including myself, whether you belong to that blessed company of hearers and readers who look into the crystal glass of God's word, of God's law. If you do, if you can answer that you are such a hearer, such a reader of God's word, may I plead with you, urge you, do not stop there. But continue looking into the spiritual glass until more and more of Christ be formed in you. And that is why the Apostle Paul says, "We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The true Christian who set his or her heart to look into the law of liberty sees all the perfection in Christ, and not only see Christ, but will begin to see the eternal Spirit of God bearing witness with that law of liberty and operating by that witness upon his own soul. And the Holy Spirit working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, making us conformable to the law of his own declaring. And so this leads me to that very important word. Did you notice that word? He continues or continueth. Whosoever looking into the perfect law of liberty continueth. That means he continues to meditate upon it. Meditate upon law. He continues his own allegiance to the Lord Jesus. The law of the Lord is always law to him. No burden. No burden. But love. Love of the word, of the law of God, and to obey it. He also continues to practice it and continues to make advances in holy living and gracious conformity to the Lord's statutes. And furthermore, he continues by, finally, in the power of the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, by a final perseverance to follow on. This is the hearer that shall win the blessing. Brethren, we must continue in the law of the Lord. Now, I just want to make this very clear as it comes to my mind now. We are talking about or speaking to born again believers. And so it is not obeying the law of God in order to receive salvation. Don't get it wrong here. As I said, all the pages of the Word of God is written to Christian believers. It is not for the unbelievers. Alright, so please get it here. Now that you are a Christian, how should you live your life? Following, obeying the Word of God. Doing the will of God is actually another term that we use to say what? Obey the word of God, or obey the commandments of God, or obey the instructions of God. So true believers are not only to look into the mirror of the word, but also to be the mirror reflecting the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ. See that? What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit making us or conforming us or forming Christ in us or making us to be more and more Christ-like each day? For what? What do we mean when we say that and we pray that Lord make me or help me to be light of the world, salt of the earth? For what? It is to be the mirror. As we search the mirror of God's word, this mirror, we, the image of Christ form in us, so that we may reflect the beauty of the Lord Jesus to be light of the world and salt of the earth. But remember, this must not be occasional, but continual. For the true heart continues looking into the perfect law of liberty. One final point before I close. You notice the last part there. This man shall be blessed in his deed. It refers to the true Christian who has been looking into the law and has continued to look into it, and the Holy Spirit has selected him from all others and marked him out as this man. Not any man, not any woman, not any boys and girls, but this man, this woman, this boy, this girl, this man is blessed. Here again I ask the question, where is the man? Where is this woman? Let each one of us judge ourselves whether we are the persons thus called and chosen, whether we are abiding in love to that law which has won your heart. This man is blessed in his deed. In keeping God's commandments, there is a great reward. Much of the blessedness of godliness lies in the practice of godliness. I repeat, much of the blessedness of godliness in the life of a believer lies in the practice of godliness. In other words, one simple word, O-B-E-Y. And that is why you read in the Gospel, Jesus says, "But not everyone who called upon me or who called me Lord, Lord shall enter into my kingdom." What did he say following that? "He that do the will of my Father." What is do? It's another word that we use for O-B-E-Y. Simple. But you see, and then again I must say, get this very clear in your mind, it is for the believers. Doing, not doing or keeping the commandments of God, not that to add to your salvation, no, you are justified by God, the once and for all act. But now that you are a believer, how do you live your life? In obedience to the laws of God. In the very act of worshipping and serving our Lord Jesus, our Master, this man shall be blessed. Not for it, but in it. The doing of the obedient deed is the evidence that God has blessed the doer from before the foundation of the world. His practical godliness is the evidence of his election. His actual holiness is the evidence of his redemption. His keeping close to the will of God is the evidence of his adoption. Holiness is the witness that its possessor shall be blessed in the day when Christ shall be or shall glorify his people. May God the Holy Spirit enable us to look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein. He being or we being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of God's word. This man, those of us who hear without forgetting, read without forgetting, hear that leads to obedience, read that leads to obedience, shall be blessed in our deed. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, indeed, we are thankful to Thee for Your word of life, Your life-giving word, Your life-transforming word. Oh, Heavenly Father, we confess once again how little love we have for Thy laws, for Thy word, for Thy truth, and how often we forget, and how often we continue in our unbelief. Forgive us, we pray. Cleanse us once again, Lord, by Thy shed blood. And help us in this new week that we may trust, that we may obey out of our love for Thee. For he that loveth Thee keepeth Thy commandments. Hear this our prayer.